Go ahead and have a seat. This morning we're going to look at John's account of the empty tomb, and it begins in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John in verse 1. John says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and called to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have laid him.' So Peter and the other disciple went forth and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head not lying with the linen wrappings but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him.' When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he said these things to her." May God bless this reading of his holy word. As I was reading this, I think of a lesson that we can get from Mary's encounter with Christ there. You notice how she recognizes Jesus when Jesus says her name. Jesus said that I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep by name, and they know my voice. And I think about her recognizing him, but those few moments where she didn't recognize him. And that is so true so often in the times where we feel the farthest away from God. In those times when we're in the most despair, in the most need of God's presence, in the most need of Christ to be near us, that he's right there. And sometimes we don't recognize it. But then he calls our name. And we go, yeah, you've been right here with me all the time. This morning, I actually just have one other thought to share with you about this passage. We've all heard it so many times. We all know it, but sometimes that causes us to just go right through it. Kind of been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And we don't think about what it means. So my one thought that I really hope you hold on to today: stay focused on the real miracle. Stay focused on the real miracle. Don't get hung up on the physical. Be ready to see what Jesus is wanting to show us, what Jesus is really trying to show us. The miracle is just a signpost to the truth of what Jesus wants us to see. The resurrection is a signpost pointing to the truth that Jesus wants us to see. John actually tells us right here in this same chapter about the resurrection why he tells these stories of the miracles of Jesus. So when we jump to verses 30 and 31, we hear John say, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." One of the first miracles recorded in the book of Mark is the healing of a lame man brought to Jesus. Initially, Jesus tells the man his sin is forgiven. No, they bring him, they cut a hole in the roof, they drop him down in, and Jesus doesn't say, "Get up and walk." Jesus looks at him and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Does that seem kind of odd? I mean, if I was going in there, I'd be like, "Man, you're a healer, right? Not my sins, my legs. My spirit's not broken, my legs are broken." But Jesus knows what he needs. Your sins are forgiven. You see, this blessing makes him right with God, and is the true miracle, the true blessing that Jesus wants to offer the man. But the religious leaders of the day challenged Jesus, saying, "Who has the right to forgive sins but God?" And Jesus responds by saying, "Well, okay, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to get up, or to say get up and walk?" Now really, if we want to get into deep theological water, saying your sins are forgiven is probably harder than saying get up and walk. But they want something that they can put their hands on, see? If Jesus comes and says your sins are forgiven, how do I know they really happened, right? But if we see him get up and walk, that's a whole different ballgame, right? And so Jesus responds by saying, which is easier, sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? And so you will see that I have the right and the authority, whatever word you want to put on it, to forgive sins. So you will see that I am God in the flesh, right here in front of you. Hey guy, get up and walk. You know, in today's vernacular, that's a drop the mic moment. Okay? You guys know that? You know, mic drop, right? What's mic drop mean? End of conversation. The mic's broken. You can't talk now. Okay? That's a mic drop moment. Conversation over. You either get it that I am God or you don't. And we're not going to debate it anymore. You see, that miracle proves who Jesus is. It is designed to reveal a greater truth. Yes, it's a blessing that the man can walk, but Jesus does it to reveal to everybody there who he is. The miracle, as wonderful as it is not the greater gift. The greater gift is the truth that is revealed by the miracle. And that is what is happening here in the resurrection. Jesus has been executed for claiming to be God. And now he has risen from the dead. Anybody catch the irony of that? We're going to kill you because there's no way you're God. You're lying. You can't be saying that stuff. It's wrong. So we're going to make sure that you can't say it anymore. And Jesus says, okay, in 3 days I'll start saying it again. He is executed for claiming to be God, and now he is risen from the dead. He is proving authority over death itself, authority over life itself. With this comes the proof. This is the fun part. With this comes the proof that all of his promises are true. Why? Because he has the right to make those promises. He has the authority to back them up. So here's the real blessing. Here's the real miracle. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, his promise that he is the resurrection and the life is proved true. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, the promise of new life offered to us in his name is proved true. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, the promise of peace that passes understanding is proved true. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, the promise of victory over the enemy is proved true. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, the promise of his right to forgive sins is proved true. His promise of reconciliation with God is proved true. His promise that his burden is light is proved true. His promise of joy that is so full that it is not dependent on the world or our circumstances is proved true. His promise that the meek will inherit the earth is proved true. His promise that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied, that promise is proved true. His promise that the light has entered the darkness and has overcome it is proved true. His promise that mercy and grace come to those who believe in him is proved true. His promise of hope for the hopeless is proved true. His promise of his love for you and for me is true. The resurrection proves who Jesus is, and that means all of his promises are true. Amen? Amen. Amen.